Do you want to make an impact for God? That's a great question. It's really a question that we've asked already, and I want you to think about it. You've been thinking about it, I'm sure. Do you want to make an impact for God? I think that there are many of our congregation who really do want to make an impact for God. We're in a series in the book of Joshua entitled Claiming God's Victory. Oh, we've watched as God has faithfully and powerfully led his people into this promised land, a generation that claimed the land that was promised a generation ago, and now they finally came to a point where they obeyed God and they watched God give them victory in their land. And we are learning about knowing what it is to have victory in our spiritual lives. Now, the main character in the book of Joshua, the main human character in the book of Joshua is whom? You tell me. Yeah, Joshua, the namesake of the book. I mentioned last week that the main character anytime in the Bible is always God. God is always the main character. But the main human character in the book of Joshua is Joshua. But there's another man that we met last week who shines brightly. We hadn't met him in a generation. But now in the pages of the book of Joshua, he comes to life and comes to light and he shines brightly. What is that man's name? Caleb. Joshua had a real impact for God. Caleb also had a great impact for God. So from Caleb's life, if you're an individual that would like to be a difference maker, you're an individual that would like to make a difference for God and impact other people for God. Caleb really is a wonderful, shining example for all of us to follow. And when we were together the last time, we began looking at how Caleb displayed the qualities of people that make an impact for God. There are five qualities in Caleb's life that are true of all people that make an impact for God. The last time we were together, we learned two of them. The first we learned is that people who make an impact for God are people who have overcoming courage. And we learned how God enabled the people and Caleb to overcome obstacles with courageous faith. How many of you know what it's like to have obstacles in your life? We have some obstacles. Yeah. And people that make an impact for God aren't people that don't have obstacles. In fact, people that make an impact for God are people that sometimes have more obstacles than other people have. But people that make an impact for God are people that will believe God. And if they believe, or as they believe God, what God does for them is when they take by faith courageously, I'm going to believe God and follow God, God brings his power in their life to overcome the obstacles. They make an impact for God. And then we learned that people that make an impact for God are people who give themselves wholly to the Lord. They have the characteristic of complete consecration. All in and sell all out for the Lord. Not holding anything back, but giving the Lord everything. And I hope as you've thought about this past week, you've thought about your life and the impact that you would like God to use, work in your life to make an impact for someone else. I hope that you've thought about, am I all in and sold everything out to God? Nothing held back. It's all his. Well, there's so much more to learn from the life of Caleb. And so I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua again, chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. And before we read the scriptures, could I read you something else? This is the tortoise and the hare. Once upon a time, there was a hare who, boasting how he could run faster than anyone else, was forever teasing a tortoise for his slowness. Then one day, the irate tortoise answered back, "Who do you think you are? There's no denying you're swift, but even you can be beaten." The hare squealed with laughter. Beaten in a race? By whom? Not you, surely. I bet there's nobody in the world that can win against me. I'm so speedy. Now, why don't you try? Annoyed with such bragging, the tortoise accepted the challenge. A course was planned, and next day, at dawn, they stood at the starting line. The hare yawned sleepily as the meek tortoise trudged slowly off. When the hare saw how painfully slow his rival was, he decided half asleep on his feet to take a quick nap. Take your time, he said. I'll have 40 winks and catch up with you in a minute. The hare woke up with a start from a fitful sleep and gazed around, looking for the tortoise, but the creature was only a short distance away, having barely covered a third of the course. Breathing a sigh of relief, the hare decided he might as well have breakfast too, and off he went to munch on some cabbages he had noticed in a nearby field. But the heavy meal and the hot sun made his eyelids droop. With a careless glance at the tortoise, now halfway along the course, he decided to have another snooze before flashing past to the winning post. And smiling at the thought of the look on the tortoise's face when it saw the hare speed by, he fell fast asleep and was soon snoring happily. The sun started to sink. Below the horizon, and the tortoise, who had been plodding towards the winning post since morning, was scarcely a yard from the finish. At that very point, the hare woke with a jolt. He could see the tortoise in a speck in the distance, and away he dashed. He leapt and bounded at a great rate, his tongue lolling and gasping for breath. Just a little more, and he'd be first at the finish. But the hare's last leap was just too late, for the tortoise had beaten him to the winning post. Poor hare. Tired and in disgrace, he slumped down beside the tortoise, who was silently smiling at him. Slowly does it every time, he said. Now, do you know, he said, well, that's, you're going deep today. You are going deep. Yeah. You know, the very quality that brought the tortoise to its victory is one of the qualities that will allow you to make an impact for God. Here's the quality: consistent consecration. Consistent consecration. Six times in the scriptures, God tells us about Caleb, and six times when God does so, he uses an expression that he followed the Lord his God. Three times in the chapter to which you've turned, Joshua chapter 14, notice if you will, in this chapter, Caleb's testimony of himself, verse 8, the latter part of it, Caleb says, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And then in verse 9, Joshua's testimony of Caleb, the end of the verse, thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And then God's testimony of Caleb in verse 14, the latter part of the verse, that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. There are three other times that we're told that he followed the Lord. One of the accounts takes place 45 years earlier. At that time, whenever the people of Israel came to Kadesh Barnea, they made a really bad decision. They had a decision point. Are we going to go this way or this way? Are we going to believe God and go to the land that he promised? Or are we just not going to believe God and rebel against God and choose our own way? And remember, there are 12 spies. And of the 12, 10 said, we can't do it. And two, Caleb and Joshua said, let's go for it. God can do it. Of course, the people believed, if you remember the account, they believed the 10 rather than the 12. Be careful who you listen to. You listen to unwise people, you're going to make unwise decisions and go unwise directions. But listen to the testimony, Numbers chapter 14. The testimony that God makes of Caleb at this time in his life. 45 years before we met him in Joshua chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, notice if you will, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. He's followed me wholly. Now, 38 years later, Moses is preparing the people of Israel to go into the promised land. He's come to the end of his journey. That generation that did not believe God was punished by wandering in the wilderness all those years has come to their end. And Moses writes a book to prepare the people to move forward in their lives. It's called the Book of Deuteronomy. I'm going to invite you to turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Moses recounts the event that happened all these years earlier. And listen to Moses' recollection of the account, Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 32. Yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search you out a place to pitch your tents in fire by night, and to show you by what way ye should go, and in a cloud by day. And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and said, and sware unto you, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. And now in Joshua chapter 14, after all those years of wandering in the wilderness, all the years of warring to secure the land, the same testimony that was given of Caleb 45 years earlier was just as true the day that the book of Joshua was written. I have wholly followed the Lord. Over 4.5 decades. 4.5 decades, a man who's wholly followed the Lord. Why was his life such an impactful life? Oh, in part it was impactful because he was a man of consistency. Year after year after year after year after year after year following the Lord. And over all those years, his life multiplied its impact because he was willing to follow the Lord consistently. How do I become that kind of a person? How do you become that kind of a person? Because you see, you want to have an impact. But for you to have an impact, you've got to be a person that's consistently following the Lord. Now, how do I become that kind of a person? Well, God in this book tells us how Caleb became that kind of a person. And it will, is in so doing, God tells you, how can you become that kind of a person? First is this: you become this kind of a person because of your commitment to who God is. I have wholly followed the Lord. Boy, you think about the changes that took place in his lifetime. Caleb lived in 3 different places. Egypt, wandered in the wilderness, and now he's in the promised land. His life spanned 2 different national leaders. In his life, he had seen great victory. In his life, he had seen defeat. He'd watched the ups and the downs. He had seen people come and people go. In fact, all the people of his generation passed on in judgment. And he watched them year after year after year as they died. And now God brings him into this new place. And all the way along, here's why God records that he was so consistent. I have wholly followed the Lord. You see, he understood who God was, and he knew God. And knowing God, his life became consistent. In the inconsistencies of life, what keeps people consistent is when they know and understand who God is. An unchanging commitment to an unchanging God. And when God describes himself and Caleb's following of him, you'll see that in each of these occasions, here's what you'll find. God uses a very specific name for himself. In our Bible, when you read the word Lord, and it's all uppercase letters, that lets us know as English readers that there's a very specific name in the Hebrew Bible for God. It's the name Jehovah or Yahweh. Some will say Yahweh. And it tells us something about God. It tells us that this is the God that never changes and always keeps his promises. So he is the God that right now is all who he ever was in the past, and he is right now who he will be in the future. And in the future, he is the God who he is now and has always been in the past. And when I look back at the past, this is the God that in my present will be the same God as the past and will always be this way in the future. And what kept Caleb going was that he had such a grasp of who his God was. He gave all that he was to God because of all that God is. To know God. You don't follow the Lord because of all you get out of it. Boy, I'll tell you what, though, I wouldn't change my life for all the blessings that come. But I don't follow God. You don't follow God just for what you get out of it. He's not like a genie in a lamp and you rub the lamp and God's your wish giver. No, oh, if that's all you have, you've missed the whole point. God is so great. He's worthy of all that I am because of who he is. And Caleb made a choice when he was a younger man, 40 years old, when everybody else said, we can't do it. He said, no, God is the God who's able. I'm going to believe God. And now for his entire lifetime, he has been a man who has consistently followed the Lord because he understood who God is. He's worthy of all that I am. One of the great and vital missions of a church is to make sure that we proclaim God for all that he is. Because when everything else goes away, I cling to who he is. You know, the Bible is such a powerful and practical book. It's life-changing. It's wonderful. But friends, our goal and our duty is to make sure that we proclaim God for who he is. In Isaiah chapter 6, the Bible tells an event where Isaiah is caught up into heaven and God allows him to see the throne room of heaven and see God in all of his glory. We read about it with these words that as they come to this place, God is high and lifted up. His train filled the temple and above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face and with twain or two he covered his feet. And with two or twain he did fly. And one cried to another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried and of the house, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto him, and having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs, from off the altar, he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away. Thy sin is purged. Whenever Isaiah sees God for all that he is in his holiness and his glory, Lord, woe is me. When you understand who God is, my friend, it brings you to purity. And if you find in your life that you are not becoming more pure and more holy because of your relationship with God, you don't really know God. When God, you see him for all that he is. Woe is me, for I am undone. And whom shall I send? God cries out. Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. See, when you see God for who he is, it's no problem to give yourself in service to him. I've wholly followed the Lord. Caleb's commitment for who God is, and for all of us that want to make an impact, to our commitment to God because of who he is. But then there is at the same time a commitment to truth. We read in Numbers 13 of the promise that God made to Caleb. Caleb, because you're willing to follow me, I'm going to give you the land and I'm going to give you your portion. And the very portion that you like the best, you picked it out, it's yours to have. And he affirmed that in Deuteronomy chapter 1. And now, Joshua chapter 14, where your Bible is open, read with me beginning in verse 10. Caleb says, now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive as he had said these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Let me go back to verse 9. I missed it. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord. All through those years, 45 years ago, when Caleb was 40 years old, now he's 85, 45 years ago, God said, now listen, everybody else except you and Joshua are going to die in the wilderness of your generation. But I'm going to hold you off, hold you up this promise that there's a land that I have just for you. For 45 years, wandering in a wilderness, fighting in the last 7 years' battles. What kept him going? 45 years is a long time to wait. What kept him going was the promise that God made. God said that that land was mine. He would give it to me. And while other people are dying off, and while others have rejected the Lord, and we go through the ups and the downs of this life, I'm going to hold on because my God said it's true, and I'm going to take him at his word. As you, many of you know, the Lord brought us here. We were 12 years in Florida. I was assistant pastor at our church. Pastor Malloy was my pastor. I served him for 12 years. And one night, Pastor and I went to a meeting in an adjoining city. A friend of ours was, their church was having a meeting. We wanted to support our friend. And the preacher at that meeting was a friend of Pastor Malloy's. And so we went to the service that night. Then we're driving on our way back. And so I asked Pastor, I said, you know, preacher, I said, how does someone become consistent? Because I've admired that. I've always admired it about him. He's just steady, consistent in his life. Whatever has happened, just consistent as can be. I greatly admired it, still do. Because I know me, I'm sort of like this. So, Pastor, how do people become steady and consistent? He says, well, I don't know. He says, you know, I think that when people begin to learn what the Bible says and then begin to obey the Bible and put the Bible into practice in their life and apply the Bible in their life, that I think that then, over time, they become very consistent. How many of you think that's a good answer? That's a good answer? Yeah, that's a good answer. Wasn't too long after that, I was reading the Bible and I came into Matthew chapter 7, and Jesus had this long sermon. Last year, we learned all through the year, we learned scriptures from his sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And he closes his sermon with an illustration. How many of you like it when a preacher closes his sermon with an illustration? Okay, sure. Maybe I ought to do more of it. I don't know. Well, I was reading Jesus' sermon, and he ends his sermon with this illustration. He said, you know, there are two guys, and they build houses. One guy built his house on the sand, and one guy built his house on a rock. And both the guys had rains coming, and the winds blew, and beat on the house. And the house that's built on the sand falls down in the storm, and the house that's built on the rock stands firm in the storm. And then Jesus said, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, he'll be like the one on the rock. And I said, that's exactly what Pastor told me. When you begin to obey the Bible and integrate the biblical truth into the way that you think and into the actions that you make, and you choose values based on God's values and his truth, what God does is, in the midst of the storms of life and the inconsistencies that we live with as people, human beings, God takes all of this and God begins to bring stability. I've wholly followed the Lord and For decades. What an impact he made. Consistently consecrated to the Lord. When our kids were in the midst of their teenage years, that was an experience. I was thinking about my father, and I remember, not so much as well now, but back then I was a little bit younger, and I was a little more familiar with these things, and I thought about it. I thought, with all the things that we were experiencing, I thought about my dad, and I thought, my dad, I would never have known, the pressures and the challenges. Because to me, and I acknowledge, I don't always pay attention. I don't always get it. And yet, it's still true. I don't always get it. My dad and I have had very few really deep talks as a young person. But here's what I remember. My dad, in every area of his life, steady, consistent. Wow, that's an impact. Following God, knowing God, serving God, steady and consistent, what a difference. Well, one day Jesus had all these multitudes following. All these people were following him. And as they follow, he turns to them all and he gives a really hard teaching. It's called the Bread of Life Discourse. You read about it in the 6th chapter of John. He said, I'm going to tell you all. You like to hear my stories and you like to hear what I say, and you like to watch the miracles that I do. But I'm going to tell you, if you're really serious about me, you need to know that it's going to be costly. And he describes it's so serious that it's going to be like eating my flesh and drinking my blood. And the people understood this was a high cost. Do you know what they did? When the cost of obedience to Jesus was so high, do you know what they did? The multitude just begins to go away. Jesus turns to the 12 that are with him and he said, will ye also go away? Peter says, where shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where else do we go? You are God in the flesh. Your words are the words of life. And when everyone else walked away, they stayed because of who he was and the words that he spoke. And I'm going to tell you, if you want to make a difference, everyone else may walk away. But if you want to be a difference maker, you're going to have to be willing to say, God, I'll stay with you. Could it be that God is so speaking to you that he is calling out to you, you yet do not know Christ by personal faith? And he's drawing you to himself and you're deciding, am I going to go and give myself wholly to him or am I going to go my own way? Oh, can I encourage you? The Spirit of God is dealing with you and drawing you to himself. He's the one that has the words of eternal life. Don't walk away. Come to him and be saved. And my friend, if you are a disciple of Christ, whenever the pressures of life come and the desire of your own heart comes and you want to walk away and you want to backslide and choose your own way, can I tell you, if you want to be an impact maker, you're going to have to stay with him. Well, impact makers, people that make an impact for God are people who live by consistent consecration. And then there's something else about people that make an impact. People that make an impact for God are challenge takers. How old was Caleb whenever he claimed the promise that God made for him 45 years earlier? Well, you read in your Bible that he was 85 years old. And yet, at 85 years old, one of the qualities that made him a difference maker was even at 85 years old, he was willing to take another challenge. So he says, look in your Bible, Joshua chapter 14, verse 10. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. Now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. And as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Pretty impressive. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day that the Anakim, the giants, were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be, the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Oh, Caleb took the challenge of the mountains. There's something, when he spied out the land, there's something about that land, that part of the land, that just caught his attention. It was a dream that he had. I want this land. It was not an easy land. It was a rugged land. If you've ever had a chance to visit that section of the land of Israel, you know what a rugged country it is, even today. But there's something about it that caught him, that was a dream there. Yeah, that I want that land. And now he comes 45 years later, God had promised it, and he said, Lord, I'm ready to go. I want that mountain. There is a mountain to conquer. And Lord, I have waited all of these years. And now, Lord, I'm older than I was, but I'm ready to take the challenge. What is the next challenge that God has placed before you? People that make an impact are people that are willing to take the challenge. Oh, the mountains are rugged. The mountains are high. The mountains are difficult. But oh, the beauty of the mountains. And God has placed before you a dream. He's placed before you challenges that to you are just great mountains. And when faced with mountains, people that make an impact are people that are willing to believe God and conquer the mountains. So he conquers the mountains, and as he does, he learns something about the mountains. He knew it already, but he reminds us about it in your Bible again. Chapter 14, verse 15, in the name of Hebron, that's the city that he was given, before which was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakim, and the land had rest from war. Do you remember who the Anakim were? The Anakim were the giants. Remember, there's another person in the Bible you know well as a giant who is one of the Anakim, a descendant of the Anakim. What's his name? Goliath, yeah. These are giants. So Caleb is willing to face the challenge of the mountains. He's willing to face the challenge of the giants. And I want you to notice chapter 15, verse 13 and verse 14. Verse 13 of chapter 15. And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah, that was Caleb's tribe, according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. Now, this is not the first time we've met these three giants. 45 years earlier, when Caleb was among the 12 spies, and they've spied out the land, they noted these three giants that lived in that region. It's been 4.5 decades. The giants still were in control. They still ruled the region. And now, 4.5 decades later, Caleb says, I'm ready to believe God to face the giants. How many of you have ever seen that movie, Facing the Giants? It's one of those feel-good movies, you know? How many of you like feel-good movies? You like to feel good? Okay, good. So, in that movie, it's based on a true story. Difficult time in American history, and people are divided one against another. And the story is about a football team that had people of differences, and the coaches, and they all came together as a team. It's just a great story. The team did so well, and they overcame the giants of division. It's amazing still. Isn't it remarkable that decades later, people are still trying to divide one another against each other? It's terrible. But they face the giants. And I'm going to tell you, in your life, you have some giants. The people that are willing to face the giants and take the mountain are the people that make an impact. See, some people, when they come to the giants, they just give up. Or they choose their own way rather than believe God. When they come to the mountain that's so great, they just retreat. And they choose their own way rather than believe God for the power. And those are not the people that make the difference. But you, see, you're a person, when God brings mountains into your life that are high to climb, when he brings giants that are hard to overcome, you're the person that will say, God, I know you can enable me to do it. Because your power is what does it. And so, God, I'll give myself to you. And as God in his power begins to conquer the giants and take the mountains, what happens is God is so real in your life that the people you touch, you make an impact. Because so many of them aren't willing to conquer the mountain and to face the giants. But you are. And you bring hope and confidence because they would love to, but they're so afraid. They don't have faith to believe God. So people like you, when you can believe God and watch God conquer mountains and face giants now, you can bless them and bring them along with you. You have some challenges before you. Challenges, some fights to fight, giants to face, mountains to conquer. Oh, the people that make an impact, willing to take the challenge. They're challenge takers. And then there's something else to consider. It's the last quality that the Bible tells us about in Caleb's life that made him an impact maker in his generation and even far beyond. People that make an impact have consistent consecration. They're challenge takers. And people that make an impact are bridge builders. Bridge builders. Have you ever read something in the Bible, and when you read it, you say to the Lord, "Now, Lord, why did you put that there?" How many of you ever done that? You ought to, if you haven't. It's a great way to read your Bible. You'd be amazed what you learn. So, in Joshua chapter 15, there's a portion of this account that I read it and I say, "Now, Lord, why did you put that in the Bible?" We read about it, Joshua chapter 15, and I'll start reading in verse 15. "And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Debir, and the name of Debir was Kirjath-Sepher. And Caleb said, 'He that smiteth Kirjath-Sepher and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah my daughter to wife.'" Now, in early service, we had some young ladies in early service, some girls. And I asked the girls, "How many of you think that'd be a good way for you to find a husband?" And you know what they all did? No. "All right, whoever's going to take that city, you get to be my son-in-law." How many of you girls think that's a great idea in this service? No, not getting a big, good, no, not so great, is it? Not so great. Okay. But watch what happens. Look in your Bible. "And Othniel," verse 17, "the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife." And then verse 18, "And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field, and she lighted off her donkey, and Caleb said to her, 'What wouldest thou?' 'Who answerest? Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me the southland. Give me also springs of water.' And he gave her the upper springs and the nether," or the lower springs. Now, why did God include this in the story in the Bible? Well, let me tell you why this was included. Othniel, Caleb's son-in-law, became a very significant leader in the next generation. Do you know what he was doing? Caleb was preparing leadership for the next generation. He knew that his time was going to pass. But he also understood that in the next generation, someone was going to need to lead and have the courage and the faith to believe that God had power and that God could do it. And this man became the man that was a significant leader in the next generation. And then, you know what else he was doing with these springs of water? Now, where we live, we don't think about water. In fact, sometimes we think we have too much water. You know what I mean? And when the water comes so much and you have to cut your grass all the time, you say, "Boy, too much water." But if you live in a semi-arid country, if you don't have water, you don't have life. If you don't have water, your crops don't grow. You don't survive. In the land of Israel, in the winter, there's a rainy season. In the summer, it's the dry season, and everything turns brown. And if you don't have water, you don't have life. Caleb looked to the next generation, and he said, "I'm going to make sure that I'm providing the infrastructure so that the generation beyond me are able to follow the Lord and prosper in this journey." He was building a bridge, not just for himself, but a bridge for the next generation. The next generation. See, people that make an impact are building not just for now, not just for what we get out of it. We always build keeping in mind that there's another generation that needs to know God and carry the banner of truth into their generation. We build bridges. And through those bridges, we impact people. William Dromgoole wrote this wonderful poem many years ago. "An old man going a lone highway came at the evening, cold and gray, to a chasm vast and deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. The sullen stream had no fears for him, but he turned when safe on the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a fellow pilgrim near, "you are wasting strength with building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again must pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you a bridge at the eventide?" The builder lifted his old gray head. "Good friend, in the path I have come," he said, "there followeth me after me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. This chasm that has been naught to me, to that fair-haired youth may a pitfall be. He too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building this bridge for him." Do you want to be a bridge builder? Consistently follow the Lord. Take the challenge. Intentionally invest in others, that they may faithfully follow the Lord in their generation. Would you stand with me, please?